As we can see, if we want to study study of the Holy Spirit, the Greek word came from the word pneuma. So we're going to have pneumatology. If we want to study Jesus Christ, came from the Greek word Christos. It's Christology. If we want to study about God, from the Greek word Theos, we're going to be studying theology. Now I'm going to concentrate on Romans chapter 8 in verse 29. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. The word conform, the Greek word is sumorphos. I want to be slow. Sumorphos. If you are going to study that the Christians should be conformed to the image of his Son, from the Greek word sumorphos is sumorphology. And this, just one time, on a free grace incident, many years ago, before it was split into many parts, a letter was distributed to some of the members. And this is part of the letter about being conformed to the image of his Son. And this word, it is an illustration. And this word, to be conformed, can only be understood with this illustration of a master painter who, in his paintbrush, painting the subject of a human face and the canvas. And through time, the painter develops a color combination to give highlights of some color to the brush in this canvas. The brush strokes and color of patience and love, sufferings, and even tribulation, and all these things, especially the affliction that Christians may experience, that sometimes being misunderstood. It can also be understood by the illustration of a sculptor. Little by little, through time, the subject of a human face is being curved until it becomes almost the same, similar in form and appearance, being conformed finally to the image of the subject. To be conformed to the image of his Son, sometimes it is being misunderstood, misrepresented, and sometimes people are being offended because of their experiences, especially tribulation, affliction, distress, problems, and many things. If you go back to the Romans chapter 8, you may be able to understand in verse 28, all things work together for good, and to them that love God, and to them who are called according to his purpose. The word here, all things, after the sermon, you will find that you are going to consider all things in your life, whether it is positive or negative. Positive, oh, it's good, it's blessings in the eyes of men. But sometimes in the eyes of men, something will happen in your life that's in the eyes of men, it's no good. But in the eyes of God, there is a purpose. The all things here, we have to consider the tribulations. All things. Affliction. Distress. The storm of grace. Everything. Which in the eyes of men, are negatives. It's no good. He is no good. His life is like that. I will not become a Christian. And some Christian who experiences tribulation, they are being offended. And they went back to the world, worldly nature. Here, to be conformed to the image of His Son, there are three reasons of being conformed. And it is in questions. Number one, why it is needed for us to be conformed to the image of His Son. In the beginning, Genesis 1:1, God, Elohim, He created the world, the heaven and earth. He created Adam. Elohim, in the Hebrew word. Every word in a Hebrew ending in Im is in the plural form. From that time, we don't understand yet the plurality of Elohim. And when it was in the book of Isaiah, God said, there is only one Elohim. There's only one God. But it is in the plural form. And Elohim said, let us make man after our own image. And this is before the fall. God, Elohim, created in the image of God. He created man after the fall in the image of God. And this image is the spiritual image of God. It is not that God has eyes and nose like us, but it is being used as a metaphor when God is speaking to some prophets. Like the tablets of Ten Commandments was written in the finger of God, but it's the lightning that strikes in the tablets. And this image that was created in us is being renewed in the New Testament time, the fulfillment of Jesus Christ's death on the cross. Righteousness, holiness, and knowledge. In Tagalog, kabanalan, katwiran, kaalaman. These three were created before the fall. After recreations, when Elohim created man after His own image, before the fall, what happened is, God Himself, with respect to man, separated. And this separation is called the spiritual death. If you will say that my grandfather died, the spirit that was in his flesh separated, and he was dead. And this separation between God and man is spiritual death. What happened here is we need, or man need, to bring back the relationship to God. But it is God Himself who made those things. And it is necessary for that mediator, that middleman, middle person, should be 100% God and 100% man, so that he can bring back the relationship between God and man. And it was only Jesus Christ who performed those things. In the fulfillment of the Old Testament, it's only Jesus Christ who is God-man. No one in this earth, no person in this earth was born as God-man and who is to redeem us in our sin. After so many years, after God ordained during the Old Testament, the prophet, God ordained, or Elohim ordained a prophet in the Old Testament to send message to Israel. He used Israel as a stage, as a chosen nation, so that the Gentiles will also gain these blessings of redemption. God also ordained kings in the Old Testament. Some kings of Israel, that very known, King David, King Solomon. And God also ordained some priests. And those three offices that Elohim ordained in the Old Testament, prophet, priests, and king, all these three offices has been done and fulfilled in the person of Christ as prophet, priest, and king. On the cross, he died on the cross as a priest and also as a sacrifice. And after his death, when Paul is already writing in the church of Ephesians, he wrote in Ephesians chapter 4 in verse 22, "Ye Christians, put off concerning the former conversation the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust." Verse 23, "And be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness." It mentioned righteousness and true holiness, which God created before the fall. When there was a separation between God and man, all these things has gone. No righteousness, no holiness. Everybody is sinful in the eyes of God. And we don't have knowledge. In Romans chapter 3, there's a tendency for God and all nations to create themselves their own God. So they made idolatry. They made their own image. They even worship some animals. In India, if you remember, it's part of their religion that they believe that the spirit of their parents, sometimes in the cow. So they don't eat those animals. That's why they suffer. They don't have any food. Some of the natives believe that the spirit of their forefathers is just around here, flying as an eagle. That's why they said, "I am chief eagle. I am chief fox." But they don't understand that everybody are chief. Like Paul said, "I'm a chief sinners." Everybody is chief. In Colossians chapter 3, in verse 10, Paul wrote again to the church of Colossus, "And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him." So in the book of Ephesians, righteousness and holiness. In the book of Colossians, knowledge. Then, next, how it is being done by the triune God unto His elects to be conformed unto the image of His Son. We will see here, according to His sovereignty and according to man's responsibility. There's a mystery between those two. But some Christians, even some great theologians, they say sovereignty, they don't understand man's responsibility. And some said, this is our responsibility. But they don't consider God's sovereignty. But there is, I don't say, 5 points of Calvinism, two lips. But I do believe in two lips. Man's responsibility and God's sovereignty goes together. It's mystery. This is mystery. You will see in some of the verses here. We are being conformed unto His own image. It is very important to be conformed to the image of His Son, as it was mentioned in the book of Romans, as the second person of the triune God, as God-man, 100% God and 100% man. I'm going to give you the illustrations in Romans chapter 5. Because of one man, who is that? Adam. Everybody became sinful. Because of one man, these things. But in Romans chapter 5, in contradiction to this, because of one man, and that was Jesus Christ as God-man, we will become righteous, holy, and have knowledge. Go back to Ephesians chapter 4 in verse 22 to 32. When you say, putting off, you're going to remove it. Putting on, you're going to put on. But take note of this. Renewing in the spirit or in the spirit of your mind. It was written, in Ephesians 4:23, in King James Version, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. It's something like past tense, because it's the renewed, because of the ed that was added, renewed in the spirit of your mind. But take note of this. The Greek word that has been used in this verse is, the verb is in the present tense. It is a continuing process of the life of a Christian, of putting on and putting off. But take note of this. If you are going to study Greek, all the verbs and sometimes some verbs in the Greek word has voice. And the voice sometimes is active or passive voice. If it is active voice, you did something and contributed in the verb according to the subject. If it is in the passive voice, oh, you didn't do anything. And you know that? In Ephesians 4:24, ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and holiness. And back to verse 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Renewed. Present tense. Continuing process of the life of a Christian. But it is in the passive voice. You didn't do anything. It is a combination of the sovereignty of God and man's responsibility. Since that we know that we will be conformed to the image of His Son, we have to do this, putting on and putting off. Very mysterious. But then you go back to Colossians chapter 3, in verse 8 to 12. I'm going to repeat again, although I mentioned that. In verse 8, but now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication, out of your mouth, lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds, and you put on the new man, which is renewed, present tense in the passive voice, in knowledge after the image of him that created him. I like this verse. Very mysterious in it, and the sovereignty of God and man's responsibility is being presented in one verse. Very powerful, and sometimes being misunderstood. And then the third, what is the purpose of being conformed unto the image of His Son? In the book of Romans, 15 times, and the King James Version, 15 times, the word hope were mentioned. 6 of them, just in one chapter, Romans chapter 8. That's why after you gain knowledge about being conformed unto the image of His Son, you go back to the whole chapter and you will see the essence of hope. You will see some of them in my application. In Romans chapter 8 in verse 19. For the earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. The word waited is also in the present tense, but in a passive, deponent, and indicative mood. In the verb, in the Greek word, the verb also has, I told you, I mentioned about the voice. In the verb, there is also mood. One is subjunctive mood, and the other one is indicative mood. When the verb is in subjunctive, oh, we are not sure it will happen. When it is in indicative mood, it will surely happen. Our earnest expectation that the Creator is waiting, present tense, continuing process, waiting for the manifestations of the sons of God. So we are very anxious, persistent expectation, looking forward and toward and anticipating, eagerly waiting for that future. What is that? The finality of our redemption. Resurrection of the dead and the living. In Romans chapter 8, glorification. I remember Al Martin mentioned about Romans chapter 8, verse 29 and verse 30. He mentioned, Al Martin is the pastor of Trinity Baptist Church in New Jersey. And one of his sermons, he mentioned that this is the golden chain of redemption. Predestinate, calling, conform unto the image of His Son, justified, then glorified. It is in the indicative mood that we are waiting for that future. In Romans chapter 5, in verse 2, by whom also we have access by faith unto this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. You will see in the next verse. And not only, but we glory in tribulations. Also knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. You will see the golden chain of our hope. When you see when you gain hope, it is because it is part of Christian life, and it was mentioned, the tribulation here in verse 3. Sometimes it is also being misunderstood. We glory in tribulation. When Christians experience affliction, distress, persecution, it is rather for us to glory in these tribulations. We have to accept this. We have to embrace the grace of God, that because of these things, we are being conformed unto His own image. And that's blessings. Next verse, and hope make it not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. Rejoicing in hope, that was mentioned, to glory, whether with reason or without a reason, to glory on account of a thing, or to glory in a thing. But we glory in tribulation. It is a pressing together. There's a pressure. And sometimes it is metaphorically an oppression, affliction, tribulation, distress, you name it, negative, everything. And in verse 5, it is confirmation and an assurance. It is by the Holy Ghost which is given to us. Recapitulation. I invite everybody to open their Bible in the book of Philippians chapter 3. I'm going to read to you a certain part of the text. And while reading, I'm going to mention things to be aware of, and then I want you to be concentrating on the doctrine of being conformed unto His own image. Philippians chapter 3 in verse 9. I use this as a recapitulation of what I have said. Philippians chapter 3 in verse 9. And be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. This is very important. Next verse. That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. Same Greek word, sumorphos, being made conformable unto His death. It is also in the present tense. It is a continuing process from the day you were converted, I don't know when was that, until the day when you will die, I don't know when will be that day. It is a continuing process, and it is also in the passive voice, again. Being conformed, being made conformable unto His death. Verse 11, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this is one thing that I do, forgetting those things which are my behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before. And this is the doctrine of sanctification. Putting off putting on and putting off, renewing in holiness, righteousness, and knowledge, present tense, passive voice, sovereignty of God, and our responsibility, because we have to do that. Because we know that we are being conformed unto His own image. And then we continue. Verse 15. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded, and if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall or reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, verse 16. Whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. The unity of the church we should be aware of. We should be praying for that, so that the ministry will continue in this church. Verse 17. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk as you have for an example. Followers together is fellow imitators. Fellow imitators of God. For many walk of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who minded earthly things. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the very important verse here, and I love this verse, the last verse of Ephesians chapter 3 in verse 21. Who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself. The same Greek word, sumorphos, fashion, similar, the same. The word like is in the word sumorphos, sumorphon, becoming of the same, similar. This is the finale. This is the climax of Christian redemption in each and every one of us. I'm going to reiterate. My wife doesn't like me to repeat again. Who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like, that it may be conformed unto His glorious body. That was mentioned in Romans 8:30. Glorification. In the book of Romans, I'm going to go back in Romans chapter 8. After mentioning the verse 30 of being conformed in verse 28 and being conformed unto the image of His Son, He said, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness? Oh, we glory in tribulation. We glory in affliction. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. See, if you go back to Romans chapter 8, you will see. And you will gain many things. You will learn many things. And then after this, the finality of sumorphology, or to be conformed unto the image of His Son, is that hope that was mentioned in Romans chapter 5. We hope for. It cannot be compared to the things that we are experiencing right now at present time. And that hope is the glorification. If Christ has been conformed and was resurrected, if Christ was resurrected and overcame death, the finality of our redemption, we will also be glorified like His glorification, that we will be resurrected like Him, in Him, in Christ. Now we go to some applications. In Matthew chapter 13, in verse 20, in the parable of the sower, he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and with joy receive it. Yet he not, there's no root in himself, it endure for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. Remember this. The initial response of joy is not the basis of salvation. Many Christians, on their initial response, maybe they come forward here, maybe they raise their hands, but then after persecution comes into their life, they were offended. They go back to the worldly nature. They cannot accept it. They don't understand it. It's hard to become Christian with this kind of persecution. I'm not going to let them kill me. It's hard. I don't want to be a Christian. I don't want tribulation. I don't want affliction. I don't want this storm of grace. I don't want all these things. I want to live on my own. But they were being conformed unto the world. But those Christians, from the time of their conversion up to the last minute of their life, that they do believe that they are being conformed unto the image of His Son in the present tense, up to that moment, the finality, that we will be glorified like Him. That is our response. We don't want to endure for a while and have a short-lived faith like this stony ground here. The parable of the sower is a warning. There's more teaching on that. So trials, persecution, tribulations arise. Many were offended because of these things and went back to the worldly nature. Instead of Romans chapter 5, we glory in tribulation. Very nice. But some of us, if you go back to some verses in Romans chapter 13, in Romans chapter 8, you will see and encounter, and Nathan read it in verse 13, for if you live after the flesh, after Paul mentioning about the some contradiction between the flesh and the spirit, if you live in the flesh, you shall die, and you live in the spirit, you shall live. And there's a fight. There's a fight. Because we are still in the flesh. So when Paul mentioned, you put on and then you put off the deeds of the flesh. And since we are still in the flesh, what we are going to do? In the Greek word was translated in King James Version as mortify, mortification of the deeds of the flesh. In New King James Version and another version, kill it. You have to kill. The remaining substance and essence of our flesh of being sinful. It's hate to see, to mention this. Since we are still in the flesh, some Christians, they really do, and I also experienced that, depression. When Paul said, mortify the deeds of the flesh, we don't understand the deeds of the flesh. But because we are still in the flesh and we are still in this world, sometimes we lose hope. We have become depressed. It is a sign of the weakness of the flesh. But other than that, if you open the book and get your sword and sharpen it and swing it back and forth 360 degrees, you may be able to overcome the depression. It is only the Word of God, because in the Word of God you will see hope. You will see that we glory in this tribulation. You don't depress. But you have to continue. It is a continuing process. It is in the present tense. But since it is in the passive voice, you know and you rely on the sovereignty of God that you may be able to overcome these things. Forget it, brother and sister. And in Matthew chapter 25, I will give you, just mention to you, just one verse. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. And there are lots of verses. I was hungered, and you gave me food. I was sick, you visited me. Do we do that? Are we going to do that? Maybe to my church member? Can I do that on the people outside of the church? Can I spend time with my fellow brethren? Can I spend time with my money to other people? How much more if I say to you that Christ, He spent His life, the last part of His life, in His own ministry. If we say that we are Christians and being conformed unto the image of His Son, how much more if you say, if you see that Christ spent even His very own blood, His life on the cross, are we being conformed unto His death? He spent those things. How much more if I see to ourselves to spend our time, money, and effort for the others? I really don't mean to misunderstand me about, oh brother, I'm sorry, I'm going to attend a birthday party. I'm not going to attend a fellowship. I don't really say that. I'm not going to attend the prayer meeting because I have a relative here visited me. You know what? What is your priority? Are you being conformed unto the image of His Son that you cannot give a good testimony to your surroundings, but instead you give priority to other people instead priority to God? We have to spend, if we say that I am a Christian, I should be spending the very essence of my person and all of what I am and what I have. If Christ has compassion, am I being conformed unto His compassion? Who among us? It's a question, personal question. Who among you took a wallet and took a part of your money and gave to somebody who is in need? Have you experienced that? Did you spend anything for the sake of others? There's one person whom I know whom I knew. Yeah. You will be amazed. What he do is occasionally or several occasions. He used to go out in his own time, took his car, drive around downtown, and invite, get out of his car and invite some people from the street. And he went to some of the good restaurants, Chinese food, Japanese food, his favorite. Anything. And then he ordered food. He let them eat. And those are the people on the street. And they are natives. He learned or he experienced having compassion to those people on the street when he was exposed to the ministry of Street Alive during the year early 2000, 2001 or 2002. Can you do that? He spent his own time, his effort, and his own money having conversation to those people. But there's one thing that he didn't understand, and I was very, very in sorrow. He doesn't understand why Christians should suffer. He gave me a big question. So, why it is Harry Cooper is on the wheelchair and suffering? If you are a Christian, why those Christians should suffer like him? He doesn't understand. But I like his ministry. Going around Lethbridge, picking up some people, natives, give them food, having conversation. How much more if I say to you, if you say to yourself, I am a Christian, am I being conformed unto his own image? If Christ was baptized before he started his own ministry, to be saved and to have a salvation through him, you know that to be a Christian, you will be conformed unto the image of his Son from the day of your conversion unto the day of glorification. Have you considered yourself to be baptized or to be conformed unto his baptism? And not only baptism, unto his ministry. If Christ, after baptism, he went on to ministry, you will be used by a church or by the church. Under the ministry of the church, that you will even your personal ministry of what you have, of what you how what you are, the whole essence of who you are, you're going to spend as a living sacrifice for the ministry of the church. And not only that we will be conformed unto his baptism, unto his life, unto his ministry, but also unto his sufferings, that we glory in tribulation, and we have to embrace affliction and distress, the storm of grace. And not only that, we will be conformed unto his death. And not only that, the finality, we will be conformed unto his glorification, our only hope. But since maybe some of you are still wondering why there's a need for us to be conformed unto the image of His Son. If you go back to Romans chapter 5, because of this one man, we became sinner. Because of this another man, the one of the second person of the triune God, Jesus Christ as God-man, we should be conformed unto Him. But since we are still in the flesh, it is a continuing process. I repeat it. It is a continuing process in the present tense. So this is only our hope. It's very simple. How much more if you see Jesus Christ? If you don't understand that you will be conformed unto His image, maybe you have to approach Him with humility that He is going to save you, and you will be ready to embrace and glory in tribulation, and you will have a blessings of these things to be conformed unto His image even in His sufferings and death. In Luke chapter 14, there's a true illustrations or two parables that Jesus Christ gave. You have to consider before building the tower, and the king also you have to consider as a king before you go into war. But you, brethren, before you say, "I am going to follow you," whether you're going. And Jesus Christ will say, "Take up my cross and follow me." You know what is that mean? To be conformed unto His image in His sufferings. We do believe that to be conformed unto His sufferings, the tribulation that we will experience cannot be compared for that glorification as our hope. And that is our only hope. And I pray that the church will also be aware of that if one of the brethren here is suffering, the whole church is suffering also. There's not only tears from their eyes, also tears from their heart. And we do believe like. Thank you for listening, and I pray that the Holy Spirit will work on us. Let's pray. For all these things, O Lord, that You have ordained on this day, that I may be able to impart the significance of a Christian life to be conformed unto His own image. That we also glory in His in tribulation, anything, all things work together, even our persecution, and this is for good and for Your own purpose and for Your own glory and for Your glory that You have ordained in this church, that we may be able to be in good foundation, to be grounded and settled. I pray, Lord, that the Holy Spirit will intervene on us as we continue to believe in Thy Word, to go back in the Scripture and open the book and to proclaim Your Word, the whole counsel of God, that we may be able to understand all these things I pray for all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.